Seems like everything today is going to tie in together. We've sung songs, obviously. Today we're going to learn there will be singing as we study our text today. There are songs that I have grown to love. There are songs that I have grown to hate. For nothing can get me to turn the radio off quicker when we're driving than maybe hearing, "Baby, it's cold outside," or "This Christmas," or "And Rebecca's Gonna Kill Me, Christmas Shoes." And nothing can get me to turn the radio higher than when I hear a song like "The Grinch," or maybe "Walking in a Winter Wonderland," or the latter, of course, maybe just because I desire to have a winter wonderland here. And it doesn't seem like we're going to get that. Although it is kind of nice. Yesterday I got to run and it was 70 degrees. Today I went out to run and it was 27 degrees and a significant difference. And I learned that shorts and a t-shirt was not too great for day two, but I am grateful for the brisk weather. But as we all know, that Christmas is a time of singing. We tune our radio stations to all of the Christmas songs. We find ourselves maybe humming along to the Christmas songs being played as we're shopping. But one day, one glorious day, Jesus will return, and we find in our text that we will rejoice with joy and with singing evermore, that no earthly song that could ever be written could possibly hold a candle to. When even those among us, like my wife, who can barely carry a tune in a bucket, will sing perfect harmony, perfect pitch in heaven forever and ever and ever. We look forward to that day. Amen, Jeff? When Jeff will sing in tune too. But before we read Isaiah 35 verses 1 through 10, I want you to think for a moment of your favorite song. Whether it's a Christmas song, whether it's a hymn, whatever song it is, just bring it to mind. And just think about the words. Bring all of those lyrics and just think through each of them and picture yourself singing that song perfectly at the top of your lungs one day in the presence of the Lord Jesus Himself. And so as we read Isaiah 35 verses 1 through 10, we will see glimpses of life tomorrow. We'll see a taste of life today, or the hope that we have for life today. Because in a sense, those songs like maybe "It Is Well With My Soul" or "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow," some of my favorite, should be sung "Because He Lives and He'll Return, I Can Face Today, Tomorrow, and Every Day After." And so let's listen to the Word of God. If you're able, stand with me as we read Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God." Verse 3. "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, 'Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. And even after a week, as Richard shared earlier, of perhaps what we may say is bad news after bad news, difficulties after difficulties, we find that you are still good. And even the peace that we studied about last week in a world that seems to be void of peace, we can still have peace in our heart today. The light that we studied a few weeks ago in a land that seems so dark, we can still have light today. And your word gives us light, and a light into our paths. God, in all of these things, in a song that even if perhaps we're struggling to sing today because there's so much weighing us down, we have hope. Life can be built on hope. Not only have you come, what we celebrate during this Christmas, this Advent season, but Father, that we know you will come again, where you will right every wrong and make all things new again. And until that day, we sing. Until that day, we make peace. And until that day, we shine the brightest light we can possibly shine out into the darkness. We do all of this for your glory alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now we have three candles burning bright, chasing away the darkness from light. Three candles, glowing light. The blessing of God giving us sight. You see, the best way I could introduce this text is kind of like those old Billy Mays commercials. But wait, there's more. But wait, there's more. We've seen there will be light, but until that light comes, we are to walk in the light of His Word. We've seen that there will be peace, but until that peace comes, we are to pursue peace, to pursue justice. If you haven't figured it out yet, our Advent series is not just looking at the past, but looking at today and celebrating the past and learning how to walk today and look forward to our future when all of these things, all of the things that we study in our text will be realized, just like the singing we find in our text. You saw it as we read. One day we will rejoice with joy and singing. Yet just as we realized last week, as much as we can know and believe that there is peace today, we often know little peace. Just as we realized 2 weeks ago that we can know and believe that there is light, it sometimes seems like our world gets darker every single day. Well, there will be singing. And there is singing. Even if you feel like you don't have a song to sing. 2016 is a year that many of you would like to put in the rearview mirror as fast as you possibly can. It was hard. It's been difficult. Perhaps it's still hard, and you're just yearning for some good news. Life today is not easy. We saw an example of this just yesterday as Roger and Diane Witham's house went up into flames. It's hard. Is there anybody here yearning to hear some good news? Anybody? Well, that's what we have in our text this morning. It gives us some good news of a day to come where even deserts will bloom, where the lame will leap, where the dumb will speak. And that's not talking about your pastor. But it also tells us that there's some good news for us today too, because knowing who holds the future and what is in store for us and all of the tomorrows ahead of us gives us hope and strength and peace and comfort today in the singing that our text talks about today. Chapter 34 in Isaiah covered a thorough description of the land of Edom's destruction, their desolation. But now we see in our text a complete opposite picture coming out of that, a fertile land flourishing in abundance of creation, reflecting the majesty and the glory of God. Did you hear that? One chapter later, desolation turns into life. And the promise of that gives those dealing with some bad news today some hope for tomorrow. God is coming. Jesus is coming again. We'll see Him. We'll be saved. And God came in the person of Jesus Christ. He brought with Him peace and made a way where there is no way. by purchasing our pardon on the cross of Calvary. And by His death, and He proved it was paid in full by His burial, resurrection, and His ascension. And we yearn for His return. So as we've seen over the last few weeks, that was a partial fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Partially fulfilled because one day it's going to be fully, totally fulfilled, and we yearn for that. The peace we got glimpses of last week will one day end up with us living in total harmony with all of creation as it was intended to be at the Garden of Eden. The light we got glimpses of 2 weeks ago will end up with us living in the perfect light of Jesus forever and evermore, where we will know what we need to know and live perfectly as we ought to live, as we were intended to live. Today we get a glimpse of the singing that was heard when Jesus first came, but yearn for the perfect season we'll one day experience at His return. That's really the point of all of this and all of our series. We don't just sit back and wait for that day to come and hope and hope to sing then. We sing today. We pursue peace today. We pursue light today. As I shared a few weeks ago, we bring a little bit of heaven here now by being a people of song today. We've got a reason to sing, as we'll see in our text. On the pages of our text, that's clear, but really, if we think about it, in the pages of our life, it is clear. I shared with you before the story of the worst news we ever received was, in my opinion, was losing the babies to miscarriage. Hardest, darkest days of our life. But then I can look back now and see what God was preparing for us. Four beautiful girls. Getting choked up. Four beautiful girls that we get to call our daughters. God made a way and was doing something that even we couldn't comprehend then and still struggle to comprehend now, to show us that He is faithful. He was faithful then. He's faithful now. He's going to be faithful tomorrow. You see, we've got a reason to sing. And if you think just for a moment to all of those days in your life where maybe it was dark, but God showed Himself faithful. Maybe you were struggling to pray, but He still spoke for you and in you and gave you peace, that we can know that that is going to continue today. And so as we study our text, we'll find life tomorrow described in verses 1 and 2. We'll skip over to verses 5 through 10, but then a hope for how to live and strengthen our life today in verses 3 and 4. So jump back to verses 1 and 2, then 5 through 10 as we see this first point, life tomorrow. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. And then scroll down a bit to verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool. The thirsty ground, springs of water. The haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. See, in the movie Cars, we were talking about this a little earlier during practice, Mater had an incredible ability to drive in reverse. Something I'm not all that good at. I can parallel park with the best of them, but I can't really drive in reverse. But he said in the movie, ain't no need to watch where I'm going. I just need to know where I've been. Memorable, catchy, cute, but it doesn't work too well as a life philosophy. We have to know where we're going. That's why we set goals. As others have said, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Having goals gives us something to aim for, to strive for. And these verses give us a pretty dadgum powerful promise for life tomorrow. Look at the text. The wilderness will be glad. The desert will blossom. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. The lame will leap. The mute will sing. Water will flow in the desert. Sand will be replaced with pools of water and so forth. What this in our text last week truly describe is what life could have been like in the Garden of Eden. Perfect, without flaw, and in total perfect harmony. This truly is the true and better Garden of Eden, the new heavens, the new earth. This comes on the heel, though, as we shared, of Isaiah's description of their destruction, the description of Edom and its desolation. It is replacing that picture that he gives for the scene of fertility, the scene of beauty, the scene of God's abundance in creation, reflecting His glory and His majesty. And again, kind of like last week, out of their failures, out of the failures of the Israelites, God was doing and is doing and was doing a better work, a greater work. Again, out of our masterpieces and what we fail and how we struggle with our life, He is fashioning His masterpiece, a work God is doing for our good and for His glory. I heard this described before in the form of a tapestry or a rug. We often see the other side of it, where it's beautiful, beautiful design, everything's matching, our dog is picking at it and bringing out strands from it for some reason, but it did look pretty. But if you flip it on the other side, there's strings going every which way. It's a jumbled mess. And that's what our life is on this side. Everything is jumbled around. There's strings going here and there and everywhere, and it looks like total and utter chaos. But through with that total, utter chaos, God, when He flips over that tapestry, that rug, is creating something far more beautiful that reflects His glory and what He was doing in your life. And so as you look at that text, look back over Isaiah's mentions of the wilderness and the highway. Those are common themes throughout Isaiah. And here we see a glimpse of what was to come for John the Baptist. The Lord's arrival would transform him in the wilderness that he enjoyed. The desert would be refreshed and give plenty of water. There would be a highway that would carry the holy people safely through the wilderness all the way back to Zion. That's likely a reference to their return from captivity, but when we as redeemed people read of the everlasting joy we find in this text, there at the end of all sorrow in Isaiah 35:10, we know then that this text was partially fulfilled over the centuries, but is being filled today and one day will be totally fulfilled when we will experience that gladness and joy, that everlasting joy that he describes, that sorrow and sighing, running away, fleeing away. And so we can look forward to that in hope. But until that day, we are called by Isaiah to travel along this way of holiness. I called it in my notes the Interstate 8, because it was in verse 8, following the way of holiness. Now, my mom sometimes gives me a hard time for not telling jokes, and you're about to find out why. Because as I was thinking of the highway of holiness, I thought of this one. In the board meeting, the leader said, let's put it to a vote. Who wants to agree with me first? See, that's why I don't really tell jokes. If you think about it, it'll make a little more sense. But there is only one way to go. It's the Lord's way, guided by His Word, led by His Spirit, which we are to follow. And Isaiah promises that even fools won't go astray, which is good news for me. Amen? Y'all shouldn't amen that one. A day is coming, Isaiah says, were the ransomed, the redeemed. You and I, by the Lord, will return to Zion, ultimately to come to this holy mountain we consider the last few weeks, where the Lord has returned to establish His new heavens and new earth, where He will right every wrong and make all things new again. In that day, there will be perfect singing. There shall be everlasting joy. There will be gladness, and sorrow will run away. Amen? Hold on. Let me say all of that again. In that day, there will be singing, there will be everlasting joy, there will be gladness, sorrow will run away. Amen? Perfect. But as we all know, there's sorrow today. We experienced it yesterday, we've experienced it this week, and we will experience it more. There is sorrow today, there's pain today, there are countless trials and storms sent to perhaps tempt us to lose our joy and to steal our gladness that we have in Christ today. Life today is difficult. We know that. And so our text gives us some encouragement there in verse 3 and 4. Look back real quick. Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, He will come and save you. 2016 has been a beating for some of y'all. Maybe it was overflowing with bad news. Maybe it left you thinking, what could possibly be worse? Sicknesses, deaths, job losses, fires, financial struggles, you name it. 2016 was hard for many. But for some of you, maybe it was a mixed bag of good and bad. Or maybe it was the best year yet. Wherever you place 2016 on your list of years, Isaiah has a word for you today and every day. Strengthen your hands. Firm up your feeble knees. Hear this deep down in your heart. Be strong, don't fear, for God will save you. Turn to Matthew chapter 1 for me. This is where the first Advent comes into such crystal clear view. Matthew 1, verses 18 through the end, or 18 through 23. Matthew 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Verse 23, behold, wow, amen. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. Emmanuel, which means God with us. Think about the word Emmanuel for a second. As Spurgeon said, He is Emmanuel. He is God with us in our nature, in our sorrow, in our life work, in our discipline, in our grave, and now with us, or rather we in Him, in resurrection, in ascension, in triumph, and in second Advent splendor. That's what we look forward to. And so we hear a hymn throughout Christmas time, but man, I wish we would sing it all year round. O come, Emmanuel. And I encourage you to listen to the words of the song and really think about God, our Jesus Christ, as Emmanuel, God with us. The song says, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. O come, thou wisdom from on high, who orderest all things mightily, to teach us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in her ways to go. O come, thou rod of Jesse free, thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. O come, thou key of David, come, and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path of misery. O come, great Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient time once gave the law in cloud and majesty in all. O come, thou root of Jesse's tree, an ensign, a sign of thy people be. Before thee, rulers silent fall, all people on thy mercy call. O come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad division cease, and be thyself our King of peace. O come, Emmanuel. Ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. And we remember that refrain, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Just thinking about Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus with us, give us a song today. That even in the darkest, most trying times of our lives, we're not on our own. He is with us. Not only that, Scripture says that He is for us. God is not some distant, uninvolved dude in the sky just hoping that we make it from point A to Z. But He is with us and takes us from points A, B, C, all the way to Z for our good and His glory. That gives us peace in a world with little peace. That gives us light in a world with little light. That gives us song in a world that tries to steal our song, because that gives us hope. And we can have hope for tomorrow. And so I want you to compare these famous last words between a Christian and a heathen or a lost person. On his deathbed, British preacher Charles Simeon smiled brightly and asked the people gathered in this room, "What do you think especially gives me comfort at this hour?" They all remained silent. And so he exclaimed, "The creation!" I ask myself, did Jehovah create the world or did I? He did. Now, if He made the world and all the rolling spheres of the universe, He can certainly take care of me. Into Jesus' hands, I can safely commit my spirit. Now compare those to Gandhi's last words. My days are numbered. For the first time in 50 years, I find myself in the slough of despondency. All about me is darkness. No hope in those words. But the old preacher's words were filled to overflowing with hope. Even in our most difficult days, there can still be a song for the Christian, because we know that we know that we know that we know that the Lord Jesus is with us and for us. And no matter what tries to come against us and will come against us, He came through His hands somehow for our good and for His glory. Thus, we can strengthen our weak hands because He strengthens us. We can strengthen our feeble knees because He strengthens us. We can quiet our anxious thoughts because He strengthens us. We can live without fear because He strengthens us, saved us, and continues to sanctify us. Because as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we don't stand under His wrath, but under His grace. He'll discipline us like a loving father would discipline his children, but He will do so perfectly and for our good, that we may share His holiness according to Hebrews 12:10. God's forgiveness and grace is meant for us to be life-giving, bringing about the holiness that He demands of us and giving us peace in a life of chaos. And that's really our so what this morning. That peace in the life of chaos is what still gives us a song to sing today, even when today seems uncertain. Hebrews picks up some of Isaiah's encouragement to lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees in places like Hebrews 12:12, applying it to us as Christians. Our text then comes on the heels of Israelites' desolation and gives us a glimpse of heaven from Edom to the true and better Garden of Eden as it was meant to be. That gives those of us, including those of us in this room that are struggling today. That gave all of the Israelites. And that gives everybody that will one day struggle hope. It gives us hope. And it gives us encouraging words in the midst of uncertainty. Because the only greater news, if you will, than the good news many of us have experienced in the saving knowledge of coming to faith in Christ by faith alone, through grace alone, and Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, according to the Scriptures alone, is the truth that Christ is coming again. We'll see Him, and we'll be with Him forever and ever and ever in a land of peace, in a land of light, in a land of singing, where there will be everlasting joy and a total end to sorrow. I long for that day, don't you? Well, that gives us some marching orders today then. If you have claimed the name of Christ, then just like our call last week was to be a people of peace, a people of justice, our call this week is to be a people of song, a singing people, following the way of holiness, spreading the gospel across the land. And that's really our so what today. If you have not trusted in Jesus as your Savior and want to know more about following Him, please visit with me after the service or while we sing. But as our musicians come to lead us in a closing song of worship, and on a day when we talked about there will be singing, and I encourage you to be a singing people, I challenge you to blow the roof off of this place as we sing, "My life is in You, Lord." And think about the words that you're about to sing together as we worship. As I said, just blow this roof off. See how loud you can sing. On a day we consider there will be singing, let's have a little dress rehearsal today. Let's pray to that end. Father God, I thank You for Your Word. God, I ask right now that You give peace, that You give life, that You give a song to those, especially our brothers and sisters, that have had a difficult week. God, I pray that You remind us of the ways You've been faithful over the years, over the ages. And Father, how we can continue to trust You today, no matter what may happen, no matter what may come in our life, that You are with us, You're for us. No matter what tries to come against us, it cannot overcome the love that You have for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Help us, if anything, to help our unbelief. Help us to truly believe that deep down in our souls. And now help us to sing out to You in praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.